Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey everybody, live from Chicago, it is the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. All things sports medicine, fitness, and wellness brought to you by Global Schoolwear, school uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger, Lower Extremity Review, LER, and MVP Parent Magazines, UK Health Radio. We've got a great doubleheader, Dr. Donald Landry. He's the former chair of the Department of Medicine at Columbia University Medical Center. Presently, he's the director of the Center for Human Longevity, and he's also a senior sprinter. He joins me along with Veronica Karaman. She's a peak performance coach, pro golfer, speaker, and author. Then the sports doctor's in with some Bob Guida wisdom emails. Dr. Don Landry. Dr. Don, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Thank you very much, Dr. Bob. Pleasure to be here.
Yes, our mutual colleague, Noah Perlis, another sprinter in his 70s, had gotten us together. Give us some background, if you would, on yourself and Columbia.
So in terms of Columbia, let's see. After my PhD in organic chemistry, I enrolled in Columbia's medical school. That was about 40 years ago. And I ended up on the Columbia faculty starting in 1985, and I've been there ever since. I'm in my 39th year. And the last 16 years, I was chair of the Department of Medicine, and now I'm on sabbatical, and as you say, running the Center for Human Longevity.
You know, that sounds like it would fit right in with your background in the, you know, the biochemistry world and those kinds of situations with the tremendous excitement, again, longevity, staying healthy, regenerative medicine. That sounds like a great marriage for you.
No, that's a great observation. It really is. And there are about 619 physicians at the Department of Medicine. About 200 of them are researchers. And this Center for Longevity fits into a bunch of other centers that are important, such as immunology, genetics, stem cells. And the fact that I bring drug discovery means we have a lot of the talent there needed to make some progress.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it that the whole world of pharmacology, the tremendous attention to the combination East and West complementary medicine, and all of these things that go together regarding keeping us healthy. You know, I call the still though the new medicine, Dr. Don, I call it eating smarter, keep moving, and reduce stress. How do you think that fits in?
I think it fits in perfectly, and keep moving could be the entree into master's running.
You know, absolutely
running,
it is.
Running and weightlifting, I think, the combination of the two.
Yes, and, you know, the idea, you know, sports podiatry, having dealt with runners forever who would bring in five pairs of shoes, three journals, and 100 questions, we could never over the years, Dr. Don, get them to strength train. If you wanted to be a better runner, you would do more running. And it ran us into all sorts of overuse problems that I'm sure you're very, very familiar with. And the idea, of course, today is it's not a serious runner who doesn't include some sort of strength training along with their regimen, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. And as you get older, you just have to be more careful about the kinds of weight-related exercises you do. I know my knees don't tolerate squats very well, but I can run upstairs still. And so I use the stairs for that sort of thing. And then, you know, the appropriate curls with enough weight to make a difference and also core. And you're in pretty good shape.
You know, we talk about, I call it in my book, of course, I'm talking with youth sports in the book, hashtag sports parents, but it goes with any age. Two particular exercise regimens that I recommend everybody in your category included that they include. One is to strengthen the feet and ankles, and the other one is to work balance, work stability, especially, again, if you're doing all that pounding, then many times these things, you know, really fitting in. You know, I find it almost ironic, Dr. Don, with all the attention, again, longevity, living well, et cetera, between diabetes and obesity, we're just still treading water when it comes to good health. I just find that to be such a tremendous, including childhood obesity, such a tremendous challenge.
No, it is. And the connection between diabetes, type 2 diabetes, and the obesity is really a devastating one. We have such a problem. And probably the medical profession has caused a bit of that with some bad advice on diet. You know, it's one year they tell us something is terrible. The next year, it's a vitamin. I don't think we've gotten great advice.
You know, it's amazing, the old food pyramids. You can't turn on TV. You know, the United States is one of only two countries in the world, New Zealand's the other, that even allows advertising on television of drugs and this constant barrage. But if there's a barrage that equals it, it's the diet industry.
Yes.
With one situation, that's why my number one rule, again, in the new medicine is to eat smarter. I'll leave it up to everybody to come up with the definition of smarter. But nutrition has become a very, very big deal in all aspects of medicine, hasn't it?
It has. And one of the problems as you get older is there's a tendency actually to lose the protein components of your diet. And if you switch to carbohydrates and don't have enough protein, you just are guaranteed to gain weight and lose muscle mass at the same time.
And, of course, as we age, all of these challenges tend to be increasing. What are some of the goals and areas, the bullet points of the Center for Human Longevity?
Great question. So the Center for Human Longevity is first and foremost a research enterprise. And there are a number of areas of investigation that are considered pillars to unraveling the mechanisms that control aging. And it really does seem to be controlled. It's been possible now, this will sound like science fiction, but it is possible to reverse aging in animal models. You can take mice that are 2 years old, and you can turn a switch, one of those biochemical switches, and the animals will turn from gray to brown, patchy baldness to fluffy. They were standing still in their cage. Now they're running half a mile a day in their cage. Their kidneys, which were starting to fail, now start to improve. My background training is as a kidney doctor, and that's impossible, and yet it's been demonstrated. So we're looking to figure out how to translate this sort of observation, which says it can be done, to humans. And one of the keys seems to be the immune system, not because the immune system is getting weak as you get older and it can't defend you against COVID or something else, which it really can't, but it's that the immune system seems to also be tied into the regulation of the aging process. So we're recruiting fantastic scientists from all over the world to join our immunology group, our genetics group, our stem cell group, and the hope is that we can find the missing link.
The missing link. What's the site that people could find out more information about the Center for Human Longevity? Is there any particular site, Dr. Don, they can go to?
At this moment, no, but in about 2 or 3 weeks, we'll have a center up. So I would say try the Department of Medicine at Columbia University, but give us a little while longer. We're just getting started.
How is the world of stem cells seem to fit in, again, to this whole, you know, the wellness area, the regenerative medicine area? Again, in sports medicine, one of the goals is, doctor, can you get me better yesterday, right? It's gotten us in a lot of trouble, these kinds of pressures. But is stem cells a part of some of this research? I'm sure it is.
Well, the stem cell regenerative medicine angle is the subject of intense investigation. Having absolutely definitive proof and saying that it should be the standard of care is something that is still a bit premature.
I think it's been oversold in a lot of ways, like the Wild West of in that regard. That's a good point.
No, I was trying to be very gentle, but yes, right, egregious oversell of this. By the same token, there have been some intriguing results experimentally, but the gap between an experiment and the demonstration and controlled clinical trial is enormous. So
you guys in Columbia, you know, one of my semi-frequent guests is a team doctor of the Yankees, Dr. Chris Ahmad, and the Yankees are quite involved with the Columbia University Medical Center, aren't they?
Absolutely. Chris is a good friend. Chris has actually been my doctor on occasion. Thankfully, I haven't had to tap into him for a while. But
you tell him to pay attention to your foot mechanics.
I'm taking that pearl home with me.
Please do, babe. Noah will turn you on to that.
no doubt. Chris Ahmad is an orthopedist. The Department of Medicine provides the internist. And Dr. Paul Lee is the partner that I have with Chris Ahmad, or I had when I was chair. Now I'm in my sabbatical post-chair. But the Yankees have benefited enormously from Columbia Medicine. And I think, actually, we could be credited at some level for their last championship ring. It wasn't an accident that the Yankees avoided a devastating flu epidemic that was ripping through New York at that time. And in fact, for that reason, not only did Chris Ahmad get a championship ring, but Paul Lee got one too on the internal medicine side.
You know, it's interesting when you talk about the group of experts involved in any professional team, even serious team at any different level, is always such a big deal in the world of nutrition, the whole mental game, all different aspects. Tell us a little bit about your racing. How long have you been racing and doing some sprinting?
So I ran some marathons before my children were born. I then stopped running except on weekends, which still became very useful during COVID. If you want to ask me about that later, you can. But about two and a half years ago, I started running again, and I found that my sprinting was fairly smooth, whereas wear and tear on joints from running earlier in my life, you know, made me a little bit more wobbly for distance. And I've gotten my 200-meter time down to 30 seconds and my 400 down to 70. And these are modest times. Noah is much faster. My team, the Central Park Track Club, is filled with stars who are much superior to this. But it's been 2.5 years, and I'm still making progress. And so as long as I don't...
You know, you guys don't know how unique you are. You know, the idea, again, of people in their 60s and 70s, even later, being competitive in any sport is sometimes one in a million many times. And again, a lot of times, again, we talk about the two areas everybody cares about, which is to try to prevent injuries, stay out of trouble, as well as the idea of enhancing performance. So being able to combine, oh, it's interesting. You know, you probably got to get the same group around you that the Yankees have, right, Dr. Don? All those experts.
Absolutely. But sometimes it's easier to be the smartest kid in the dumb row. But it is more fun to be at Caltech. And I'm at the Caltech of running right now, I think.
Well, again, you can keep it up, you know, for semi forever. That's why you got to include those two areas. You got to work on balance, strengthen those feet and ankles, especially when we're talking about those kinds of speeds, and making sure you're in the proper shoe. Sometimes when we get into sprinting, we end up in these pieces of paper that aren't very, very supportive. That's going to be another pearl to you guys that I wanted to share with you. In that regard, the whole area of longevity, like you're talking about, the anti-aging becoming such a new and big and important science, have you found in the last couple of minutes before we have you found the medical community great colleagues overall?
Oh, absolutely. No, the doors will open for clinical trials the moment we have things that are worth testing.
We're going to have you back. You know, I knew the time would fly by. I want to thank Dr. Don Landry again, the director of the Center for Human Longevity, Columbia University Medical Center. When you get that website up, I definitely will give it a shout out in a couple of weeks. So I want to thank you so much. And hold on, Don. We'll be right back, everybody. Sports Doctor. Hey, everybody. It's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharkey Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharkey is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharkey talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctors In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, hey sports parents. Back live from Chicago. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. It is the Sports Doctor. I want to welcome Veronica Karaman. She's a peak performance coach, pro golfer, speaker, and author. Veronica, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Thank you so much. Great to be here.
Give us some background on yourself, Veronica, between your golfing career, some of your coaching. Give us some background.
Well, I've been involved in the game of golf since I was 5 years old, and my father placed a putter in my hand, and he'd go play for 4 hours, and I'd go putt for 4 hours straight. And I had a great amateur career, played for Duke University and played different tours in the U.S. Open. But I really had a heart to develop young champions from a more holistic base and not from a performance-driven base. And so I've spent the last 20 years or so developing mainly competitive junior golfers to be champions using my approach called the Champions Way.
You know, it's interesting, the huge topic on the Sports Doctor, as you know, when we first spoke, is the whole world of youth sports, the tremendous pressures. The reason I co-authored the book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, was the epidemic, in capital letters, of youth sports overuse injuries, both physically and mentally. Mm-hmm. The pressure, the parental hassles, the coaching, et cetera. So the idea of paying attention to these youngsters, any five-year-olds in your group like you were?
Not five, but I've had them started from about 10 and up. And I often say to parents, just addressing that issue, which I totally agree with, are you raising a goal? Are you raising a soul? And if you're raising a soul, then what are your values? How are you going about that? And are you consistent with what you're really trying to achieve? And I find that pressure in competitive athletics, you know, to be very detrimental just to the development of the human being per se.
Well, that's why I always ask experts and coaches like yourself, you know, how your sports psychology skills are, Veronica.
Well, you know, I think it's so much more than sports psychology. What I do is I help develop and instill in a player, like even now this morning, I was working with a 13-year-old on the complete picture of peak performance, what it is, how it happens, and how there are four main components to any result or performance, the mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual. And so when you can equip a person with what I call a framework of thought, how they see to go about achieving from a process, from process-oriented goals versus results-oriented goals, it makes it so much more enjoyable because it's along a continuum and it's from a place of love and acceptance and not drivenness to find your worth in a score.
Yes, and of course, you know, the physical side. You know, today, golf's a whole different world. One of my longtime colleagues, Paul Callaway, was the first physical therapist on the pro golf tour. was in the van all those years ago with Jack Nicklaus's and the Arnold Palmers, trying to get these golfers to understand that they were athletes and they really needed to train for this. And I'm sure you pay big attention to that, especially when we're working with youngsters. You know, we call these repetitive motion injuries. When you're swinging a golf club 1,000 times a week, you got to strengthen all these stabilizers. So here's the sports doctor, a couple of pearls for you, Veronica.
There you go.
In two areas that I, all ages, with whatever the sport happens to be. Number one is strengthen those feet and ankles. And number two is work balance, work stability. I'm sure you pay big attention to that with your young golfers.
You know, one of the biggest things that I find in that area, and of course I help them define what fitness is in golf with, you know, endurance, strength, flexibility, power, strength. But one of the biggest areas of need is helping junior golfers with their endurance, which also relates to getting enough nutrition and taking enough nutrition throughout the round so the round doesn't end up being 15 holes instead of 18 holes. And it's such a simple thing to do to make sure you're hydrated and your blood sugar is level and you've got, you know, that pick-me-up to maintain your endurance for an entire 18 holes.
Do you find, again, with challenge when you're working with not only the golfer, whatever their age, again, if they're youngsters and adolescents, I'm sure you have many of those, you're dealing with their parents, you're dealing with their coaches, you need, again, to be a real educator. When it comes to these various components, have you found good cooperation when we're talking between the parents and or families and or the coaches? Could be the college coaches, the pro coaches of some of the athletes you're working with?
That's a great question. And what I do after doing this for 20-some years is I always try to get to causal. And so causal, when you're working with a young person and have an issue, so often goes back to the parents. And so number one, I try to set up the relationship from the start saying, I know you hired me for junior, but sometimes there's an issue that goes back to senior. Do I have permission to address that with you? So I set that open communication and permission up from the start. And then secondly,
good idea. That's the great awareness.
Yeah. And then secondly, I really try to get the parents on the same page in what's called creating a common performance language. So when I use the Champion's Way and train the young person in the four champion zones, the mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual, I always encourage the parents to watch the videos. I have an online video course, and so that they have the same approach and framework of thought, so there's not an unmet expectation in the parents that is not on the same page. So once
you
get
interesting, Veronica, is for decades where we've talked again about youth sports and all these challenges, I call it the mental game again. And it's funny how the spiritual inclusion has become well accepted.
Yes.
You know, the 10, 20 years ago, when you mentioned the spiritual side, yeah, they would look at you and roll their eyes at you. So the fact that that's an accepted inclusion today, I think, is a big deal. You know, the late, great sports psychologist, Dr. Jim Vickery, who shared my radio show with me in the 90s for years, he had a couple of bullet points for sports parents. And he said number one was don't be a critic. And number two, be a good listener. So I guess when you have these meetings with these expectations, and I would imagine it's well received by parents of some of these younger athletes.
Yeah, the key is to show
being up front.
Yeah. Well, the key is to show the parents how their relationship with their child affects their performance. So if you can start from a place of saying this, the relational dynamics of performance and anything spiritual is relational, how you have a role in how you relate to your child is going to affect their performance. So when they see that, they can also adjust and grow. And if I have an overly critical parent, I'll bring the parent in with the child, and I'll actually lead the parent in asking the child for forgiveness. And you see that child burst out crying.
Great idea.
And
what's the best website, Veronica, if people could find out about you and your programs?
It's truechampionacademy.com.
Okay, truechampionacademy.com. And again, you know, the relationships, are you still actively playing yourself?
Oh, well, I made first alternate to the Senior Women's U.S. Open this year. It was my first competitive round, that qualifier, and then I played in the South Carolina Senior Women's Open. I'm nursing a little arthritic knee, but I still love to whack the ball.
Here's my other pearl for you, Veronica. Here's a big pearl with your arthritic knee.
Okay.
I'm a sports podiatrist. 50% of my patients over decades are knee problems with women. So pay big attention, if you haven't, to proper custom orthotics. Because it not only enhance the biomechanics, usually it's ignored by a lot of my knee expert associates. Unless your feet hurt, you're not complaining. So pay big attention to that. It'll improve your game. Do you have orthotics in your shoes, Veronica?
I don't, but I guess I will now.
Well, you pay big attention to that, the biomechanics. Absolutely.
Thank you.
In that regard. Have you found the senior and super senior population, who again are so active in the world of golf, can also benefit from so many of your different programs?
Oh, absolutely! I'm thinking of one senior player. Again, took her through the same system, and she ended up winning all these tournaments. And she sent me a testimony. She said, "You know what? In my whole life, no one, not my family, my husband, or whatever, ever told me that I could be great at something or told me I was a champion." And here was this woman who had everything. I mean, she belonged to the best club, and she had everything in the world but a sense of her own self-worth as a champion. And I taught her how to compete and, you know, everything else, and she's, 70 now, still competing and winning in a whole new way. So that was very rewarding to me.
Yeah, one of my famous senior patients, Ruth Famali, was a champion for years in the seniors of over the years. Do you work with other sports also, Veronica?
Yeah, I just came out with a new book talking about the spiritual part, and when I mean spiritual is identity, higher purpose, and values, like the human spirit, but I also do faith-based. And I just came out with a new book called God Make Me a Champion, An Athlete's Journey of Faith into the Power of Surrender. And I actually have a volleyball team in Alabama going through that book, and I'm coaching the athletic director. So I'm very excited to see these principles and ways translate really to all sports.
Oh, my gosh, the world of volleyball. I was consulting with the USA national teams in the late 70s, early 80s, with my colleague. One of the most impressive physical sports, volleyball, and they start, you know, very, very early. And I find it, you know, it's fascinating. If you talk organized religion, you got big problems many
right.
times. But if you
right.
talk the spirituality, it's neutral.
Yeah.
And it,
yeah.
nobody has a fight with that, it seems. I've noticed that change over the years. I think it's a, like we first mentioned, I think it's a great change because it's a big deal.
Yeah, I think, you know, when you talk about spirituality, it's kind of like an umbrella covering. But within that, I think even in these podcasts that I'm doing, I find that there's an openness, you know, to talk about just your relationship with God, which is, you know, you can take that as you will. But I find so many athletes have a relationship with God and they love to compete, but those two areas of their life never intersect. And the more...
Yes, we're going to talk more about it. We're going to talk more about it. Veronica Caraman, Peak Performance, it's the Sports Doctor. We'll be right back.
If you live in or near Aurora, Illinois, and you're into sports, fitness at any level, or your son and daughter is, you cannot forget about your feet. Your feet affect everywhere else. There are complex motions that come into play, especially in sports. Your ankles, knees, hips, and back all are affected with your foot mechanics. Come visit the office, Dr. Bob, and get evaluated. Check what shoes are best for you. I offer prescription orthotics, which is usually one of the major tools for treatment and prevention of foot-related ankle and leg problems. Also, enhancing performance. Step or two quicker. Call 630-898-3505 or go to sportsdoctorradio.com.
Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide, school pride and identification being one of them. Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website. Global coach, former pro golfer, still involved big time in the world of golf. Duke University graduate, the North Carolina area, you know, Duke, you know, the Coach K. GlobalSchoolWear.com. GlobalSchoolWear.com. Hey, everybody, we are back live from Chicago with the Sports Doc. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. We are talking with Veronica Caraman, Peak Performance, the home of champions. Was he there? Of course he was there when you were there.
Well, actually, he came right after I graduated. But I've, you know, it's been wonderful to follow the whole Duke basketball.
Yeah, to be part of that, you know, yeah. The you're in the ACC. I'm a Louisville
yeah.
grad. So absolutely, with the I don't want to age ourselves, you know, when Coach K, you know, was there. The physical side of the world of golf in all aspects, and it seems, again, that the more talented the young boy or girl that you're working with, or male or female, many times, the tremendous attention sometimes to get into the area of overkill. I've had guests on in the past that were hand wrist experts, as well as shoulder and elbow orthopedists, being really concerned about upper extremity overuse problems in the world of golf.
Yeah, and I think my perch and my perspective on that is that we have so many different kinds of coaches and so much kinds of technology that whole physical zone is out of balance. And so to be able to, you know, train someone that just hitting more balls or just playing more is not necessarily the answer to better results. It may be the mental zone. It may be the emotional zone.
It leads to injury. You know, I've been very pleased to see over the decades the improvement in golf shoes that have included running shoe technology and tennis shoe technology. After all, golf's a lot of walking, especially at a serious level where there's total amounts of walking, and you're never on even surfaces. So again, the biomechanics of the lower extremity, are you flat-footed? Do you have high arches? Is your leg length equal? Are you bow-legged? These are all the things that I have paid big attention to over the years, regardless of the sport of the young athlete. Why are these girls having so many knee problems? Because they maybe have excessive pronation. So there's been a lot of attention to the physical side as we've watched the world of golf where you have these bigger, stronger athletes, both male and female.
Yeah, I think nowadays, you know, I'm seeing the girls now, you know, all the weightlifting and, you know, just the athletic, physical fitness, strength training side of things that never happened in my day.
100 years ago, when you came in to see Paul Callaway in the Western Open, we begged Tiger Woods to back off all that running and pounding. He wouldn't listen. Yeah. He wanted to be a great athlete. Too much running and pounding. It's part of the training, but sometimes we see that it can cause various types of overuse injuries as we run into, even, you know, sometimes on the mental side, with just overkill in so many areas. And I know mentally is a big deal with you, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think the longer I do this, the more I realize it's not the pursuit of excellence per se that I would say help someone achieve greatness. I really think it's the pursuit of wholeness. And wholeness is having that well-rounded balance. You know, I think of Jack Nicklaus. He didn't really focus on golf till he was like 18 years old. He, you know, was focused on becoming a well-rounded athlete and a well-rounded person. And I think that we have forgotten with all these different kinds of specific approaches. We've forgotten the idea of wholeness.
Yes, the world of specialization. I have a chapter in my book called The Prodigy Sports, where I think figure skating, gymnastics, even tennis and soccer, but golf, where you have a 10, 11, 12-year-old, and this is what they want to do. Everybody wants them to play other sports and use different parts of the body, have different mental challenges, and that's great, unless you're you at 5 years old and you decide, this is what I want to do.
But you know, when I was five and my dad went out to play, there was a beauty in my being a little girl, being out on the putting green alone, because none of it was about technique. I stayed there until I knew the green. The green knew me. I had to figure things out for myself. And kids these days, you know, they have such trouble putting and they go to all these technical things. And I'm like, go stay on the green for a couple hours. Learn the breaks. Close your eyes. Get into the right side of your brain. So the knowing has to be in your body. And you know, these are all concepts that are foreign in today's world. But I find that the more you can get someone to say, you know, go out there and hit a bunch of different kind of shots and trouble shots and create shots and go figure some things out for yourself, so that you can gain some confidence instead of always having to have a coach tell you do this or do that. And if you can instill in a young person, like I work in this morning, I'm just thinking of a 13-year-old who can be an independent thinker, and you come to the coaching session and you tell, what are some of your goals? I find with young people, they don't know how to set and achieve goals. So they'll put in all of their stats, let's just say, to an online stat tracker. But so what? It's like, are you able to look at those stats and form some goals from that, go out and practice what will achieve those goals, and have what I call a process of development where you're not only working in your game,
Do you have these athletes also, Veronica, again, you're talking the mental, do you have them doing some rest and relaxation, some meditation, some visualization? Do you have them paying attention to that? Also, I find rest and recovery especially, but that mental, my young figure skaters have been doing visualization for decades.
Absolutely. What I do is I help them form what's called an ideal performance state, which in golf is a state of calm concentration, because you have to have mental, emotional targets as well as you have physical targets. And most of these kids know what not to do. They know what, I'm not supposed to get angry after a bad shot, but they don't know what to do. And so I start them off and say, how many holes can you stay in calm concentration? And maybe they say it's five, or how long does it take to recover from a bad shot? So I take them right from where they're at and help them understand, what does it feel like to be calm? What does stillness feel like? And to build that to where they're able to do that for 18 holes. I used to be the mental game coach for the Greg Norman Champions Golf Academy in Myrtle Beach for a year, and I had 12 17-year-old boys from Mexico. And of course, they were, highly emotional, just as part of their culture. So I would actually have them, as part of their practice, they had rocking chairs out there, to go sit on the rocking chairs for 15 minutes and just get still. Because they energetically did not know what stillness felt like. But once they could identify that state, that mental emotional state, then they could replicate it and develop it because they had an awareness of it. So I just find, okay, technology is great, but if it leads you away from the self-awareness of what is your emotional state, how quickly can you return? I call it a new emotional home of calm concentration.
Especially in this world of social media. Especially when I have you back, we'll get into that too, the whole challenges on the social media side. I knew the time would fly by with Veronica Karaman, Peak Performance Coach, specifically, again, the world of golf. What's the best website, again, Veronica, find out about you, your books, and your courses?
It's truechampionacademy.com, and on there is a 12-module video series. You can get in touch with me to coach or for speaking, and books on Amazon.
Fantastic. Veronica, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hold on. We'll be right back, everybody. The Sports Doctor. Hey, everybody. Dr. Bob here. LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, is celebrating their 10th anniversary. It's been a decade of providing key clinical and practical information about concerns, conditions, and treatment solutions for the lower extremity, both sports and non-sports alike. LER is the only multidisciplinary publication for doctors of all specialties, educators, therapists, and trainers. They inform practitioners on current developments in the diagnosis, treatment, and prevention of lower extremity injuries. LER prides itself on editorial integrity and evidence-based content. Their tagline, collaborative care for better outcomes, says it all. Hey, colleagues, go to lermagazine.com. Hey, everybody. MVP Parent Magazine is special. Evidence-based topics on all areas of youth sports. Rich Dubin, a sports dad himself, takes his three decades of publishing. He just celebrated the 12th anniversary of the acclaimed LER, Lower Extremity Review Magazine, one of sports doctors' key supporters, and he pours it into MVP Parent. Factual evidence-based info on such key topics like physical and mental training, nutrition, injury awareness, treatment, recovery, and prevention. I am proud to be a contributor to MVP Parent with the Sports Doctor is In article in each issue. Go to MVPParent.com. MVPParent.com. Everybody, it's the Sports Doctor is In segment, the fun of live radio never ends, where we preview some upcoming topics and guests. I add a little Bob guide of wisdom, answer a few emails. We got some great guests coming up next week. Michelle Blood was a rock superstar in Australia. She ran into and came into the world of affirmations, motivational speaking. coming up with some great programs, books, and CDs. So she's going to be returning next week. Then Tasha Hayes is the co-founder of Hurdle Apparel, these high-tech socks in the world of sports and non-sports. She's a fabric expert, really from MIT. Looking forward to that. The following week, my son Adam, the CEO of Global Schoolwear, is going to return. We're going to talk about all areas of school uniforms, specifically in the areas of making a difference in school student attitudes and our bullying, not worrying about what everybody's dressing. So we're going to talk with Adam. And then a longtime colleague of mine, chiropractic physician, Dr. Scott Clark, who spent years on the pro tennis tour, taking care of some of these players, some of them that we worked on together. So he'll be joining us. You know, Bob Guida, the late, great Bob Guida, met him in the late 70s. He was a ex-Mr. America, Mr. Universe, and he was a expert in the world of sports training, and he paid huge attention to the role of the foot. That's why we got married all those years ago. Whatever the athlete, whatever the sport, Bob would pay big attention to the foot's effect on the rest of the body, balance, stability, speed, all of these things. He would pay big attention to the one-foot balance test, the athlete standing, slightly squatting barefoot on one foot at a time, looking at that stability, always, again, what shoe were they in? What strengthening exercises were they including for the feet and ankles? Way ahead of his time. Some emails. Karen says, my 12-year-old daughter plays 5 days a week tennis. She's done it since she's 10 years old. You know, she's got flat feet. She's had Achilles tendon concerns the past season or two. Pay big attention, Karen, to seeing podiatry. I've been putting orthotics in young tennis players' shoes, especially young females, for a million years because of the fat excessively pronated foot. Two big areas of interest. Number one, it's one of the best ways to get rid of this persistent Achilles tendon problem. Besides the physical therapy you might be doing, other expertise, checking out whether she's in the best shoe for her foot type, and orthotics properly done, a magic besides the strengthening. So pay big attention to that with your daughter. The most common problem we see, and the foot doesn't itself always hurt, is that excessive flattening of the arch, the hyperpronated foot, usually inherited, by the way, Karen, by mom, dad, or grandparents. Paula says, my 11-year-old son loves soccer. He plays 6, 7, 8 months a year. He was diagnosed with calcaneal epiphysitis. That's an inflammation of the large growth center, Paula, in the heel. And this growth center goes right along the whole back of the heel and doesn't come together into solid bone in girls to 13, 14, boys 15, 16. And it can be a consistently irritated area in any running, jumping sport. One of the challenges in soccer especially is the fact that very early soccer players are in cleats. And very early those cleats on the heel, right underneath that growth center in the heel. Get your son out of those cleats. Get him into a multi-cleated, multi-purpose shoe, and there are plenty of them. And pay attention to podiatry. I've been putting orthotics in youngsters' shoes with this inflamed growth center for decades. And it usually, even the most persistent problem, which often is caused by, again, a running, jumping activity, any running, jumping activity in growing kids, can irritate that growth center. When it's persistent, when it's recurrent, we start really looking at the foot mechanics. Is this young kid flat-footed? Does he have high rigid arches? It becomes very, very important. See podiatry. Jim says, I'm a 35-year-old jogger. I've been dealing with shin splints forever, on and off. You know, Jim, you need a proper diagnosis. Shin splints are not a medical diagnosis. It can be tendonitis, it can be muscle inflammation, it can be a stress fracture. Make sure you're getting a proper diagnosis. Another big point, you mentioned that it's been persistent with you. Over the years, I have found that 80% or more of shin problems, discomfort usually along the inner border of the lower leg, can be the front and the outside border, but usually it's the inner border, over 80% are foot mechanics related. Either a excessively pronated foot, flat type foot, over flexible, or even a high rigid arch, less common, but another example of foot mechanics that can absolutely overuse that tendon when the foot collapses excessively or traumatically. You're straining the tendon muscle, the tibial tendon, whose job it is to slow down the collapse of the foot as you move over it in walking, running, or jogging. See podiatry, pay attention. Besides all the strengthening exercises, include physical therapy. Make sure, get that diagnosis as to precisely what you're dealing with. Be a walker for a few weeks. Back off the pounding. Allow this to calm down and then do that investigation like we talked about. You know, again, the best-selling book, Hashtag Sports Parents, it's available on Amazon. I can't believe it's over 4 years where my co-author, Volleyball Hall of Famer Sharky Zartman, and I put together this great composite of four different sections in the book. Where she talks about sports parenting 101. There's some great cartoons in the book on so many different topics also. But sports parenting 101, all the challenges of having a young son or daughter in sports, whether it's very, very serious, whether it's traveling teams, whether it's very recreational. Second section of the book, The Sports Doctor's In, is my area. We're talking about everything from what's the best shoe to common problems. We even include the world of concussions, all sorts of overuse injury concerns in the world of youth sports. And this is a very, very big deal with the kinds of pressures, both physically and mentally, that are on many of these kids. You know, the more talented that boy or girl is, the more the pressure is to be on a traveling team, to overschedule, overdo it. And there is an epidemic, in capital letters, of youth sports overuse injuries. We're looking forward to the upcoming documentary, Where Our Children Play, The Challenge of Youth Sports, with Chesapeake Films and the creator of this, Joel Franco. He's been a guest numerous times. We're playing around with the website. Hopefully we back up sportsdoctorradio.com. If you go to radio shows, there's years of them. Again, the third section of Hashtag Hey Sports Parents, we bring together experts in the world of nutrition, in the world of physical training, in the world of mental training, coaching, parenting, all giving their 2 cents or more regarding these areas of parenting a child athlete. The last section of the book, again, we have six sports parents chiming in, again, with their perspectives of the challenges, the ups and downs, again, of parenting a young athlete. So, again, Hashtag Hey Sports Parents. By the way, it's still fruit and veggie month. So, include some. Catch you next time. It's the Sports Doctor. Thanks to our friends at BBS Radio. Thank you.